Today's review in Masechet Kelim, we're going to do first Perek Gimel, and Perek Gimel is called Shi'ur Klei Cheres LiTaher. So basically what it's about is how big does a hole have to be in order for it to be Metaher, something that was previously Tummy. Okay, so the Shi'urim are, the normal Shi'ur, remember, is the Shi'ur of a Zayit. That's the given Shi'ur. If it's made to hold anything that's liquid, then the shear is liquid. And if it's made for both, so then obviously we have to wait until it's not even going to be able to be used for the zeitim. And then if we've got larger kelim, especially large kelim, let's say you have a barrel. So according to Rabbi Shimon, then grogrot, which are dried figs, is the shear. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you can even go beyond grogrot. It has to be strong, big enough to hold walnuts. Rabbi Meir was the one who said in the Mishnah before, and he repeats it here, that the shear is, I had some already, Barnea, that Rabbi Meir says it's bizetim, just like the shear we said before. Now, when you're talking about the normal things, like a pot, a stew pot, a cooking, something you're cooking, there the shear is zetim. But when we said liquid, is the shear of all liquids the same, or does it depend on the viscosity of the liquid? So if you've got a pach and a tvi, which are meant to hold oil, then the shear is measured in terms of it's not dripping out the oil. Dripping out water would not be enough. A tsartsur, there, since it's meant for water, the shear is water. Rabbi Shimon says, on the other hand, that any of these things are only tahar if they won't even hold seeds in them. And that's because oftentimes all of those kind of things are used for that. How about if you've got a kli cheres that was partially finished? So you make a lamp, you never baked the lamp, and you're using the light that's on the tip of the lamp, that the heat of that should make it into a kli cheres. Then the din is over there that the whole thing is tahar, because you don't call it a lamp if it lost the part which is the lamp, then bechlal, it's not a lamp. But if it was first a lamp in its entirety, meaning that it had gone through the whole process of firing it, so then it would be perhaps usable for something else. If it was only made out of adama, was never fired, so then it's tahor bechlal. Okay, how about a big barrel that has one of these holes? So let's take a look at whatever it was, mevatel the kli. You now filled it up with something that waterproofed it to, let's say, tar you used, right? And now it gets broken again. So if the part that was fixed still can hold a revius, it's fine. But if that part can't hold a revius, then forget it. Because if you don't have something that has its original shear, you only want to make something tahar because it's broken and you can still use it. When the shame kli was batel, it's no longer kli, which means that if you've got a broken piece of earthenware that has a hole in it, and you, even if it holds a lot, if you needed to fix it with tar, forget it, because our general rule is you do not fix broken pieces. And that's the idea of ein mevin gistra legistra. We never improve one broken piece by bringing another broken piece. Now we have another question. The other issue, by the way, did I say what the issues are over here? I think I forgot. The overall issues of this are obviously holes, which we just talked about, fixing holes, which we just talked about, covering up the entire kli with an additional coating of something to hold it together. And that could be anything. That could be dung. It could be crushed cheres. It could be mud. All of these things we're going to be discussing. And we'll see what the din is in them. Why don't I see you? I seem to have lost you. I hope you're all there. I'm just looking for you. There we go. Okay. So now, suppose you have a cracked barrel. It's still in one piece, but you're nervous. It's going to fall apart. And you cover up the whole thing with dung. That holds it together. So then, even if it is in such bad shape that you would take off that dung, it would fall apart. Since you prevented that from having by a preventive measure, it's still considered to be tumei, because it never lost its shame kli. On the other hand, if it already broke and now you glued the pieces back together, and or maybe you took pieces and put them like a jigsaw puzzle together, and then you put the dung over the whole thing. That's called tefill, remember. With the dung, that would not make it a kli, my dear. The most the dung can do is to preserve the shame kli. It is certainly not going to create the kli, because kelei gelalim, kelim that are made of dung, are bechlal not mikabel tuma. So that can't be the piece. Now, if it was glued together and you have a place that holds a revius, so it was repaired, we said before, you could still repair it, there's still a difference. Because if it holds a revius, then the entire kli is a kli to be mekabel tuma with maga. But only avir of the place which was the area that still holds a revius is considered to have a base kibbol and zbatame bintocho. How about if preventive medicine is applied because you're scared something might break and you want to make it stronger? So your tefill, a perfectly healthy kli, what would be the din over there? So Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon hold that that is useful. Even though the kli is still a kli without it, the whole thing now becomes one kli and the outside is part of it. But the Chachomim argue and they say a tefillah only is meaningful when it's needed. And if it isn't needed, it's just you want to make sure that it'll be there. It does not become tameh, only a repair. The same thing would be true about pumpkins. We're over there, we've got, remember, we use pumpkins to draw water. So what you do over there, since generally it starts to crack, they would put like a ring around the outside. Same question of the machlokas about pumpkins, between the Chachamim on one hand, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon on the other. Now, how about, there's a different type of coating, which is called yablit. Yablit is a kind of, a moss of some kind that is used to coat these really big storage, water storage things for boats and so on. Over there, it is considered to be tameh, because these things are so delicate that they always make a coating on it to prevent them from breaking. Here, even the Chachomim are made. The Magufa, remember we had before, is not considered to be a chibur. We spoke about that in Shabbos also, about the special halachas of Magufa Sechavis. And anything that would touch a tefillah of a tanur, now, that's different, because the tefillah of a tanur is insulation. Insulation is not the same as strengthening material, even though it happens to be made out of the same stuff. An oven needs insulation for functionality. And therefore, of course, that's considered to be part of the oven and is fundamentally different from tefillah, where it's not needed for functionality. And if you've got a case where you've got, let's say, a kettle, right? A mecha, a samovar. So over there, if you covered it over with mud, or you covered it over with charsit, charsit is ground up earthenware, then it actually depends, because mud sticks well, and therefore it's part of the kettle and provides the kind of insulation that we want. But powdered earthenware does not stick, it crumbles away, and therefore it's not considered to be, even while it's there, not considered to be part of it. If you've got a hole in one of these big urns, then if you filled it up with zefet, like we had in Shabbos, according to Rabbi Yossi, since zefet melts when it's going to be filled with hot water, it's not considered to be a proper plug at all. So according to Rabbi Yossi, you cannot be metame things that use zefet. How about if you use zefet, however, on a clay nechoshet? So over there, you just do that in order to make sure that the nechoshes doesn't get worn away. They are tahar, because again, it just melts. And the whole point of nechoshet is to be used on fire. But if you did not make them to use on fire, actually you made them to hold wine, and wine that will stay in contact with copper is going to be useless, going to get a bad taste. So then it's considered to be waterproofing and lining, and then, of course, that's considered to be useful. And if you've got more than enough of the tar than was needed, and some of the tar goes to the side, how much of it is considered to be tameh? Only the part that was absolutely necessary to seal up the hole. All of the other stuff that just gets stuck around the outside, that's not considered to be part of it, even if it's attached. The same thing is true if you dripped some of that and it got stuck. It would also be tarred in one of these amazing kind of confluence of events. That's exactly what happened to me yesterday. They were using tar to waterproof my flower things outside, and they dripped the tar all over the place. Wouldn't you know that that would be today's Mishnah? Anyway, and if some of that zephet got stuck to a barrel or something, it doesn't matter. How about if you plug up a funnel with some of that tar? So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says that's a good enough seal. It turns the funnel into a kibbol. Rabbi Akiva says it depends. If it's wood, yes. If it's cheres, then it always gets detached. And of course, Rabbi Yossi has the shita that he always has. Tar is not a good seal. It doesn't hold for warm things. The fourth pair. Yeah?
You say to delineate the integrity of the kli, would include everything? Is the kli still shalem? Is this part of the kli? Is it insulating? Is it beyond? What is the integrity of the kli?
Okay. You could say, what are you asking? You're telling me an
alternative. Concept of the parrot. I'm suggesting the way to read the God is the integrity of the kli.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it doesn't quite cover the question of whether tefillah that is not necessary is considered to be part of the kli. So I don't know, but it covers most of the things. Okay, the next perek is perek hacheres, and this is talking about things that can't stand on its own. So here we're talking about shivrei kelim, weakening of kelim, gister of kelim, shulayim of kelim, the sides of the kelim, and what is considered to be the gemar kli bichlal. So let's go through those things quickly. Anything that prevents you could have a piece sticking out, a handle sticking out, and you can't, because of that, you can't set it down to hold any liquid because that piece flips it over, then it's tahar. If you take that off, it's still going to be tahar because once it lost its shem tuma, it's never going to get it back again. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda, he holds that's not called a new kli, and that would be able to be mekabel tuma. And a barrel where the bottom broke, but you could still use it on its side. Or let's say you have an areva that you split down the middle. Now you can use them by putting them on their sides. Rabbi Yehuda, in that case, learns that if they don't hold it the way they're meant to be originally, that's not able to be mekabel tuma. The Chachamim say it is, even though now it's on a different part than it was before. If you've got cracks in something, then if you can't carry it without its cracking completely, once it's holding a half a kav of dried figs, then it's not considered to be whole, even though it currently has it completely cracked. And a gistera, once a gistera gets any kind of crack in it, even if just liquids can come out of it, it doesn't matter that you can use it for apples and pears, it's tahar. Because the klal is, there's no shirayim to shirayim, and ein omrim tavi gistera legistera is the klal. When we talk about a gistera, it could be anything. It could be even if the handle broke off, or if the top of a barrel breaks, and now there's all kinds of jagged pieces that are sticking out. If they can hold, like we had earlier, if they can hold zeitim and they're not that jagged that the olives are going to fall out, so we said that's the shear, and that area would still be metame. Both bamaga and also kenegdo is still considered to be part of the airspace. It's metame. Once it can't be metibikabel zeitim, then obviously it's not going to have avir, but it can still be metame as the din of a yacht. That, yes. Also, if you've got something that you've got this broken barrel, and now it broke in such a way that it's like a chair, you could sit in it and anything, so any part of that area that can hold olives, it's the same din. If it cannot hold olives, then it's not considered to be a kli. And then we have the kurfi, the kurfiot, or the tzidoniot, which are, they're pointed, even though they can't stand, that doesn't matter because, as we learned yesterday, anything that's made initially to be supported by something else is tame, even if it cannot stand on its own. And these things are always put into one of those little metal pieces that hold them up that Rabbi Arnea will be happy to send us pictures of. Now let's talk about multi-rimmed kli cheres. And here the question is, multi-rims would mean that you've got either the outside comes up further, and then you've got a smaller rim and then a smaller rim. They're built one inside the other, or the opposite. The inside one goes all the way up, and then you go down. So then it would depend which one is up. If the inside one is higher, so then everything else is considered to be tar. But if the outside is higher, then that subsumes all of the airspace of the inner one, and they're all tameh. What about if they're same? According to Reb Yehuda, you split the inside area, and according to the Chachamim, each one is a kli unto itself. What about if you've got a kli cheres that is not completely finished? Well, the shear is, it needs to be fired up. Firing up a normal kli cheres is considered to be the gemar milachah.